Happy Saturday. Welcome back to White Sox Weekly. I'm Jeff Meller, live from Wright Field, getting ready for White Sox and Angels, the second game of the baseball season after the White Sox won 8-1 on opening day. Jonathan Cannon will be the Southsiders starter today. He'll be opposed by Jose Soriano. We'll get you lots of information regarding those two in our pregame show. You'll also hear from Will Venable when he sits down with Len Casper as well. I think Will Venable is actually scheduled to meet the media here very shortly. I think Jesse Rogers, ESPN MLB insider, will take that in. It might pop up here as well, go around the league and see what some of the thoughts are regarding the new White Sox team. But I did want to bring you White Sox general manager Chris Getz, who, again, met the media on Wednesday during the White Sox workout here at Wright Field prior to opening day. There may be a few things that he covered about the opening day roster, but a lot of big picture thoughts as well that I found interesting. So here's White Sox general manager Chris Getz meeting the media on Wednesday before the season began.
Yes, we're going to start them on the IL. They, you know, it was one of those, it's one of those types of injuries where, you know, we probably could have activated them on opening day, but there was no sense in pushing it. And we want those injuries to be behind them so when they come up, they can have confidence and they've got enough body of work and at-bats. And, you know, all the boxes that need to be checked before playing a major league game.
Who was your biggest surprise coming out of spring training that's going to be on the roster tonight?
You know, we had a handful of players that performed really well. It's, you know, you look at going into spring training and the opportunity that we were able to provide players that and because of opportunity, attracted players that wanted to come here. And through that competition, a lot of players stepped up. And Miguel Vargas had a, you know, an excellent spring training, both offensively, looked good defensively. We were playing him third base and first base. But I think, above all, Shane Smith, a Rule 5 pick. You know, the you never really know when it comes to a Rule 5 selection. Obviously, there's the restrictions that come with being a Rule 5 pick. But, man, he couldn't have had a better camp. And, you know, from he had that one, his first outing the first inning, and then he never looked back. And we feel very fortunate to have him in our clubhouse and become one of our starters. And what a tremendous add. And it certainly speaks to, you know, our acquisition process and great being able to bring in a talent like that. And look forward to supporting him through his first season as a major league pitcher. And I guess on the subject of Rule 5 pick, we're excited to have Mike Basil here as well. It probably was helpful that Shane had such a great camp. And why not take another shot at a talent an arm and, you know, give him an opportunity to come in here and establish himself as a major league pitcher as well. So, you know, there are a lot of players that were in really good positions based on, you know, what they did in spring training. Louis Robert is in an excellent spot. I looked at something the other day. I mean, not only has he had power production, he's hit, he's gotten on base, he's defending well. The amount of three ball counts that he was that he had in spring training was by far the most he's had as a professional player. So that just speaks to his determination and focus to put together quality at bats, and look forward to seeing that play out early on in the season.
So Shane is either your fourth or fifth guy in the rotation?
He's going to be in the rotation. Yes.
What about the last couple guys, position-wise, with Brooks and looks like Nick Maton?
Here we got Brooks Baldwin, Nick Maton, Travis Jankowski. You know, all three of those players offer a fair amount of versatility. I feel like it could certainly help us win ball games based on, you know, their skill sets.
Brooks, while still being maybe the youngest looking major league going, looks like he really benefited from the short time. He looks kind of, I know no one likes the word comfortable, but looks more confident in what he knows he has to do in the majors just from the time he spent here last year.
I think that's right. I mean, that's, you know, one of the benefits of getting young players up here to get a taste of the big leagues. And although there might be struggles along the way, they learn from those struggles or those experiences. And in his case, a lot of it was just physically getting stronger. By the time he came up late last year, you could tell that it was later in the season for Brooks. And Physically, he's in a very good spot. But in addition to Brooks, you look at Vargas at the tail end of last year as well, and you know, navigating essentially his first full season at the major league level. And by the time we got him in the trade in August and in September, you could tell that he was going to need to really focus on regaining strength, and he did an outstanding job. He did exactly as we asked, and started to show up in his at bat. So those experiences for young players can be really valuable if used properly.
What did you learn from that you didn't know? You went to the camp, okay, there were certain things that you learned about him that's going to apply to him being as a manager.
Well, you know, I can't say that I necessarily learned anything going through spring training with him, but it was more, okay, that's because he's always been a very thoughtful person, and you know, that thoughtfulness shows up in you know, every decision, you know, every opportunity to communicate with someone. And you know, he delivers with such care with players, and just seems to know what to say at the right time. But he's got consistent leadership, and he knows how important that the role is of being a major league manager. And although he's going into this for his first time, he looks very comfortable. He's very confident. I think he's going to do a great job.
So you take Martin out of the equation, I mean, the other four guys have thrown about 250 plus innings in the big leagues. So how do you manage the expectation of leaning on them too much, and also saying, hey, like, these guys have earned their right? I mean, you have success, you have Trevor. Not that Garrett Crochet's going to be, he might be a one-off, but you've done it before with guys who have not had a lot of major games.
Yeah, we're confident in our pitching group, and I say that obviously the pitchers themselves and you know, our coaches, we've got essentially a pitching department that is established now, and so it gives us more confidence to bring in players and challenge them. Now, one of the benefits now compared to maybe where we were a year ago is we've been able to accumulate more depth throughout the organization. And, you know, we know it takes more than just 13 arms to navigate a season. You know, we were able to see a lot of these pitchers in spring training. Some of them will be in Double A and Triple A, and you know, when a need arises and they're ready to go, they can come in and help support the group that we have here currently. But you know, it often takes creativity and willingness to take on some measured risk. But we feel like we've got the right players and staff to help get us through this season and put us in a really good position for the future.
I know you kind of even asked about expectations before, but now that we've completed spring, we've got the roster set, what is a successful season for this group?
You know, it's showing up each and every day and competing. We've got high internal expectations that you know, Will, the staff, and myself are going to carry throughout the season. You know, this is a group that they really like playing with each other. We've got some leaders within this group that are going to support some of our younger players, our lesser experienced players, and you know, throughout all of that, I think we're going to see a lot of positives come out. And it's not just focused on wins and losses. Obviously, that's you know, very important. But we also understand where we are as an organization, and you know, we're, so many of these guys are getting experience for the first time in the major leagues to really help us not only now but certainly in the future as well.
Is it hard to find the patience you need? You know, you're talking about, you know, where you are as an organization. You've done this a year now. The people in the stands are going to want to see results. Is it hard for you to find the patience that you have to succeed?
Listen, we're all competitive. I'm certainly competitive. Will's competitive. All these players are. You know, our fans, you know, we've got tremendous fans here in Chicago, and they want to see a winner. You know, we had so many fans that were in spring training in Arizona that I was able to interact with, and our players as well. And you know, we feel the support. We also understand the frustrations. Certainly, you know, they want to come to a game and expect us to win each and every night. That's not going to be the case, but you know, our intent to win each and every night could be shown just with the effort, the attention, the detail, and this roster will certainly shape it in a fashion where we feel very confident in the future.
Justin Anderson was expected to play a significant role
righties and lefties that, you know, went into the equation when it came to Justin. We did, you know, acquire Mike Basil pretty late in spring training, so, you know, that was a factor as well in shaping our best 13 that for opening day. But with that being said, we know that Justin and many others are going to be a part of this. And although we have our opening day roster, things change as quickly as the following game. So, yeah, Justin was disappointed. He's going to be part of this team. You know, he showed what he was capable of doing last year and pitched some important innings for us. So he'll stay on track and ready, and along with some other pitchers that are down in Charlotte and in Birmingham. But yeah, it's knowing that we've got four righties in our rotation, so we've got a handful of lefties to balance that. We've got some guys that can be used in smaller situations, but there's versatility for these guys to pitch multiple innings out of the bullpen. So especially early on when, you know, you get a stronger or a better understanding of, you know, roles and capabilities, you know, it was important for us to have guys you know, complement each other.
That was White Sox general manager Chris Getz as he met the media on Wednesday prior to opening day. I'm Jeff Mellor. This is White Sox Weekly. Hey, White Sox fans, enter the Ultimate Fan Sweepstakes for your chance to win the Ultimate Tailgate. April's winner will get 10 tickets to the White Sox game on Friday, June 6th. In addition to game tickets, the winner will receive VIP parking and 10 passes to the Ultimate Tailgate presented by Modelo. To enter, visit whitesox.com/sweepstakes. Will Venable just met the media a couple of minutes ago. Jesse Rogers, ESPN Major League Baseball insider, was there to take that in. He's going to hop on next, give us a report of what the undefeated White Sox skipper had to say, and he'll also give us a preview of the White Sox next opponent, the Minnesota Twins. We'll do all that next right here on White Sox Weekly on the ESPN 1000 Hard Rock Casino White Sox Network. Celebrate your special occasion with a White Sox group outing. Get priority for top games in the best group spaces. Enjoy a memorable ballpark experience with friends and family. For more information, visit whitesox.com/groups or call 312-674-1000. Back on White Sox Weekly, I'm Jeff Mellor, getting set for a 110 first pitch game 2 of the season for the White Sox as they host the Los Angeles Angels. They've got the Twins coming up on Monday. And when you've got an ESPN bigwig in the house, you have to invite him up to the booth to give us little...
Who's that? Where is he?
Well, I was talking, of course, about Brendan Riley sitting right next to you, Jesse Rogers. Jesse Rogers joins me here on White Sox Weekly. You just took in Will Venable, who met the media. And look, Jess, I know I'm reading ESPN.com. A lot of people are still skeptical of what the White Sox, after last year, what they're going to be able to do. But the White Sox social media team put out the video of Will Venable celebrating with the team in the clubhouse after that win. He's doused in champagne as he rides through the laundry cart. It's a pretty cool moment for the team that had a lot of bad ones last year. What did he say today and any takeaways? Because you know Will Venable pretty well.
Oh, yeah, I do. And it's funny you bring that up, because the only question I had for him was, how did you celebrate a couple nights ago or even yesterday, and how many people did you hear from? And in a very understated Will Venable way, he just said, I had dinner with the family, and yes, I heard from a lot of people. I was curious, you know, Bruce Bochy, Alex, you know, people he worked with, how many people reached out. He said a lot, but he didn't get into specifics. So I think he enjoyed it. The team enjoyed it. I hope Sean Burke did. I didn't get a chance to talk to him yesterday. Was a dig me day for Sean Burke, because that's a phrase Greg Maddux came up with. The day after you shove and pitch well, everyone's digging on you.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, the only people that could dig on him was his family, because there was no game yesterday. So it was dig me day for the entire franchise. I mean, I know it's only symbolic because it's one game, but it meant a lot. I think it was the symbolic turning of the page in a lot of ways, from not just last year, the last couple years. It's just been a sort of negative feeling down there. And I don't think I'm telling stories out of school. We all know it was a little bit dysfunctional, and that seems to be erased. And now they can get on the business of rebuilding this club. And you're wondering about Will. Well, a lot of the conversation daily, I think, is going to be about the minor leagues. It's going to be about the major league team and the minor league team. And he was asked if he took notice of Colson Montgomery homering, Kyle Teal as well. And the answer is yes. He's keeping an eye on it. And I actually asked him one more, and I'm like, how hot does Colson have to be to get up here? And of course, he didn't answer that completely, but he said it's more than just what he does at the plate. Needs to work on some things in the field. We'll see if it's the 2-week mark where he comes up, because that's kind of my prediction. As long as he's hitting well, I think he's up here that quickly within a couple weeks. But obviously, he's not going to tell us exactly what needs to happen. But if he starts out hot, I think he's up here pretty soon.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, the back spasms that he had to deal with in spring training quickly, I think, dampened the opportunity for him to make it to the club. Just talking a little bit and listening to Chris Getz and Will Venable, I think it was important for them not just hand the job to Colson Montgomery. That I think they want to set a tone to be different than it was the last couple of years. You have to earn things. We're not just going to hand them to you, because they want everybody out there on the 26-man roster at the major league level working hard every day, each and every day, because that wasn't the case in the past.
Yeah, the most interesting thing at the end of spring for me, and I wasn't in Arizona at the end of spring, I was there earlier, but when they named Sean Burke the opening day starter, I thought that was fascinating. And look, maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I honestly thought it was going to be Martin Perez.
I did too.
I would have put money on it.
I did too.
I even checked with Perez's people and looked at his history. I thought maybe he had an opening day start in his career. He has never had an opening day start.
Mm-hmm.
So you would think they would just give it to the veteran who is already turning into a leader and sort of just give him that moment. Like, you've never had this in your career.
He started with the quotes in spring training. Hey, we got to start with us believing before anyone else does.
So I thought that was telling. And what I'm getting at is just turning over this team to the young players and the ones that have earned it. So I get what you're saying about Colson. I was still surprised he wasn't up here even despite the injury. But okay. All right. What's 2 weeks? As long as it's not that long. Because the sooner he gets up here, the sooner he can go through the growing pains up here. But handing the ball to Sean Burke, I thought, was the most interesting thing that came out of spring, because it really was a sign that they were turning this team over to the young players. And, Colson will be one of them, but maybe he does have a little work to do since he got behind.
Well, and you talked about, he didn't have the chance to really take in the Dig Me Day because the White Sox had the day off on Friday. But, maybe anybody who's been following the White Sox closely, especially in September, and if you were reading on ESPN.com, I saw Jeff Passan have the note about Sean Burke around the league turning heads. And people have been recognizing that Sean Burke has some good stuff. So maybe we shouldn't have been so surprised the way he finished last year. And then he just, he had to escape a couple of, early innings where he was in some trouble, but he got out of him. Thankful to Michael A. Taylor for a nice defensive play and left in second. So it's those things that seem to be different from last year that, game one and in spring training a little bit, they're playing cleaner baseball.
Yeah, and I hope the bullpen holds up, because that's going to be very meaningful. They just didn't have it last year in the pen. I remember talking to Tommy Pham several times and how frustrated the hitters were late in games when the bullpen would blow a game. All of a sudden, now you're facing the other team's A relievers instead of the B relievers.
Yeah.
Because when you're winning, the other team's going to bring in B relievers. When they're winning, they're bringing in. And so it just impacted everything last year when the bullpen faltered. So I hope the bullpen, like it did the other day, Clevinger got out of that jam, really picks up the starting staff, because that can be so demoralizing. And of course, what I just said about the impact on the hitters as well. But man, this pitching infrastructure, that's the lingo we use these days, the infrastructure. It's not just, the pitching coach. It's the whole infrastructure.
Brian Bannister.
But every team uses that word for hitting infrastructure, pitching infrastructure. This will be very interesting to see how it grows from today's starter, Jonathan Cannon, to Davis Martin, to Noah Schultz, to Hagen Smith, to Sean Burke. And, it has the makings where in a couple years we might be saying that is a major strength in this division, the Sox rotation, but we're obviously not quite there yet. We're just off to a one-day good start.
No doubt, yeah. And I know you just list a bunch of names. Don't forget Grant Taylor, too. He's in
turning heads.
Birmingham rotation with Noah Schultz and Hagen Smith. We'll let you hear from White Sox farm director Paul Janisch as well, who talked about why they chose to put all three at the same level. They thought they would push each other, and they liked that idea. Jesse Rogers, ESPN Major League Baseball Insider, joining me here at Wright Field as we get set for a Sox-Angels 1:10 first pitch. All right, Jess, you are the ESPN MLB insider. So you were in St. Louis for opening day, chatting a little bit with Nolan Arenado, who had a tough season last year, and he's a big name, and he's somebody who it seemed like was an obvious candidate to be traded in the offseason, but that did not come to fruition, partially because Nolan Arenado has a no-trade clause.
Yeah, the Cardinals are an interesting team. I'm sure you don't want to do 15 minutes on them. I'm actually going to be writing about them for ESPN.com next week. They're in some sort of transition phase, the Cardinals. It's a team that usually doesn't do that a lot. They're resetting. Yet they don't have a rookie on their roster. It's still a veteran group, yet they're going through this reset in part because of what you just said. I think there's four players with no trade clauses: Miles Michaelis, Sonny Gray, Nolan Arenado. So they can control how a team resets itself if they're turning down trades like Nolan did in the offseason and Sonny Gray made it known. But Nolan looks like he's moving better. If he gets back to his old self, then come the trade deadline, I think he would waive it to go to a contender, and the Cardinals could cash in on some prospects. So, yeah, I was down there for that. He got a curtain call when he homered in the eighth inning. But I'm sure you want to talk about the other side of the diamond, the Twins, who will be in here on Monday. And this is a phrase I've been using in the last couple weeks because I've been on a lot of shows across the country. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? What do you think about spring training? What do you think about the first month of the season? And here's the answer. You can't react to the early portion of the baseball season. You can only overreact.
Sure.
So here's my overreaction on the Twins. They did not look ready to play baseball on Thursday. They balked, I think it was the first inning. They made an error. They just did not look good at the plate against Sonny Gray, whose velocity was a little down. It got to 4-3, and then the Cardinals, after Arenado's homer, they won. So for one day, the Twins did not look ready to play. Now, that could change today, and certainly when they come to town here on Monday. They already have an injury in Royce Lewis. This is a team that's been very injured over the last few years.
And unfortunately for Royce Lewis, that's been the majority of his career, what he's been known for. He had that absurd, ridiculous grand slam streak a couple of years ago where the Sox actually were the opponent on the receiving end of quite a few of those. But for the most part, Royce Lewis has not been able to stay healthy.
The whole team hasn't. And you talk to insiders around the league, if people that follow it closely, other executives, they think the Twins are the most talented team in the division pound for pound. That's what I don't necessarily agree. When Bobby Witt's on a playoff team, it's hard to argue. But whatever. We know that it's a tight division. It was last year. It should be this year. Maybe the Twins are the best team on paper, but they don't stay healthy enough. Here's a name to watch. I've talked to some people, and I posted a story about this yesterday on what executives feel about breakout players. Matt Wallner.
Yes.
Watch Matt Wallner. He hasn't had a full season under his belt. If he plays every day, his numbers could be really good.
I'll tell you what, though. He's also one of those guys who has some pretty extreme splits as a lefty. He kills righties, but he hasn't as is the case with a lot of lefties, he hasn't had the opportunity to prove whether or not he can truly hit against left-handed pitching. It's been a bit of his bugaboo that he strikes out quite a bit against left-handed pitchers. But you're right. He's lethal when he's in there against right-handed pitchers. So that's one of those guys where is he just an extreme platoon guy who you can use more often against righties, or can he actually be a star player?
Well, I've had a couple of executives say he's going to be a breakout guy this year. So you think about Matt Wallner, you think about Royce Lewis if he's healthy, Byron Buxton if he's healthy. We have to use these caveats. And the Twins might have a good team. They just didn't look ready to play ball on Thursday. But
Jesse Rogers, ESPN Major League Baseball insider, joining me here at Wright Field ahead of White Sox and Angels. I heard you mention Alexander Canario's name the other day. What's the latest regarding that?
Yeah, the White Sox are looking at him. He was DFA'd by the Mets. Big power guy. Never got a chance, really, to get at bats with the Cubs nor the Mets. Probably belongs on a team like the White Sox who have opportunity. He probably shouldn't go to a contender because on a contender, a young player is not going to get many at bats. So the White Sox are looking at him. Like I said, DFA'd by the Mets. He's in that 10-day window where a trade could happen. We'll see. But I think the White Sox are going to be opportunistic throughout the first half, guys that get waived or whatever the case may be. Because they have opportunities.
Yeah, there's, you know, that's the one thing that this season I think is going to provide for some players out there to make their mark. If, you know, there are some opportunities on this roster, and if you play hard and you start to make an impact, you can certainly carve out a role for yourself. You know, potentially that could be someone like Mike Vassell, who we're expecting to talk to here in a little bit. The White Sox made a deal for him as spring training was wrapping up, another Rule 5 guy. So, you know, if they want to keep him, he's going to have to stay on the roster all year, just like Shane Smith. So, you know, that's, you don't see that too often in Major League Baseball where a team will carry two Rule 5 guys on their roster. That might be the case for the White Sox this year.
Yeah, there's so much opportunity down there. I was talking to Travis Jankowski, who I know well, and he was on the north side during spring training, and again, no real openings there. Here, there's openings. You just have to perform, and you'll be given a shot here until the young players. Once the young players come up, then there's less opportunity for a veteran like Jankowski, but you mentioned a couple of Rule 5s. There's just chances, and that was the theme at camp. I think Colson said it early to me, opportunity and competition. That's what the White Sox are all about for the near future, opportunity and competition, and that breeds the best out of people, and that's why I think I, in hindsight, love the idea of Sean Burke getting that opening day start. You know, he earned it during the spring, and that's it. You earn it. You're going to get your chance here with the White Sox in the near future.
Any final thoughts, Jess, as I let you go? Anything? How about, you see Mookie Betts last night? Walk-off 3-run homer for the Dodgers. His second of the game after dealing with, you know, losing over 15 pounds in the offseason.
Yeah, they're the talk. I mean, they're just the talk. I believe in hangovers, but this team may not have one. Championship hangovers, I don't think this team is going to have one. They're 4-0, 2 in Japan, 2 at home. They're so deep. That's the key. It's not just the frontline guys. They are so deep that Betts and Freeman can miss a couple games. They beat the Cubs a couple times. They come home. Betts is recovering from an illness, and he hits a walk-off homer. The key to them, though, to be honest, is their pitching staff. Their second-day relievers are as good as most teams' first-day relievers. You know what I mean? Like, you know, if you don't want to use a couple guys back-to-back, well, that's okay because we got Kirby Yates waiting in the wings. And same thing with their lineup. I mean, Michael Conforto is a $20 million kind of player, and no one even thinks about Michael Conforto.
You never hear his name mentioned. Right.
But he's a damn good player.
I think he's had at least one 30 home run season in his career in majors.
I almost never pick teams to repeat because of the hangover effect. I think it's real. But this is I picked this team to repeat, and I didn't do it, you know, today.
Yes.
I did it 2 weeks ago before the season started. I just think they're too deep and too good not to. If you're not going to pick them to repeat, who would you ever pick up? Right? So
it's a fair point. Jesse Rogers, ESPN Major League Baseball insider, big wig in the house at Raid Field. Thanks for hopping on, Jess. Appreciate it.
You got it, Jeff. Congrats on the new gig. Good luck to you and the team, of course.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it. Again, Jesse Rogers here on White Sox Weekly. I am Jeff Meller. When we come back, we touched a bit on Colson Montgomery, Kyle Teal homering. We'll dig a little bit deeper, give you a little bit of a farm report here on White Sox Weekly on the ESPN 1000 Hard Rock Casino White Sox Network. Welcome back to Raid Field on ESPN 1000 and the Hard Rock Casino White Sox Network. I'm Jeff Meller. White Sox Weekly getting you set for Sox and Angels, coming your way with a 1:10 first pitch. Len Casper, Darren Jackson on the call. As always, we'll have your pregame coverage starting at 12:30. We're going to call a little bit of an audible because I believe we're expecting to hear from. So we actually already have him. So we'll scrap the farm report for a moment here and bring in, I believe, the newest member of the White Sox, Mike, and before I say it, because I saw the pronunciation guide and I saw it Vassell, but then I heard your general manager, Chris Getz, call you Vassell. So let's get it on record out from the outset. Is it Vassell or Vassell?
Hey, yeah, how you doing? I just want to say thank you. First off, appreciate you having me on. And the correct way to pronunciate it is Vassell.
Vassell.
Vassell, yeah.
All right,
we can get mixed up sometimes, but yeah.
Yeah, that's what the pronunciation guide said. But then, like I said, I'm all of a sudden second-guessing myself because I heard Getzy call you Vassell. I think you got to go storm into the GM's office and let him know who's boss, Mike. Tell him how to say it.
I don't know if that'll be happening, but I'm sure it'll get fixed up, yeah.
Yeah, no, Mike Vassell, the newest member of the White Sox. They made a deal for him at spring training. And crazy because of the interesting connections you have, not just with the opening day starter, Sean Burke, who had a fabulous day on Thursday, but also the other Rule 5 draft pick that is on the White Sox roster this year, Shane Smith. So for Mike, for those who are unfamiliar with your story and just the connection you have with a couple of other White Sox, can you fill in the blanks for us?
Yeah. So I grew up in the Massachusetts area. I went to BC High, Boston College High School, which is a high school that plays Sean's former high school, St. John Shrewsbury. So throughout the years, that's how I got to know Sean. And we also played a couple travel tournaments together. And then I never played Shane in actual high school, but played with him at Area Code. And so I've known those guys for a while, since junior year of high school. And it's always been really cool to follow both of them and see how they're doing. And then also now, obviously, by crazy way, now all together in the major leagues. So it's pretty cool.
So I have to imagine was it pretty cool for all three of you guys to be on your first opening day roster on Thursday? I mean, did you guys chat about it at all? I mean, I guess maybe you didn't chat with Sean much because he's getting ready to start, but what was the experience like on Thursday for you, just being on the field as they were making introductions, and then to be a part of Will Venable's first win as a manager, and then just to be here for a great, great experience on opening day?
Yeah, I mean, first off, like when Shane and I walked in the ballpark, even on the first workout day, we were just in awe of everything. I think you got to kind of take all that in. But then opening day, you know, with the flyover, the fireworks, the anthem, like that was a moment like I wish I could have slowed it down, you know, because it's pretty special. And especially for opening day and my first ever big league experience game, to just be here is really, really special. And all the fans that were here too is really, really awesome. And, you know, Shane and I were just kind of talking about it. Our lockers are next to each other, and I don't think we could even really believe what was going on. And I don't know if we've quite, you know, had it all sink in yet. You know, and then also I met, you know, our manager, Will Venable, just the other day, but, you know, to be here for also a part of his first win is incredible. You know, all the managers and coaches I've ever played for, I feel like, you know, once you understand what they have to do, and then to be here for somebody's first big league win as manager, it's pretty cool. It's a pretty big deal. So,
So where were you positioned? Because White Sox social media team put out the 20-second clip of Will being excited after the win, addressing you guys, and then him hopping in the laundry cart and getting doused with some champagne. So, where were you positioned in the clubhouse, and what was it just like? Bring us inside a little bit.
Yeah, so he kind of walked in, obviously gave a speech. Everyone's really excited. Andrew Vaughn put him in the little laundry cart, and he got put in the showers. Like, it was, you know, it's a pretty packed in there. So I was kind of in the back with Shane, but everyone was, like, you know, pretty much in there dousing him with water, Gatorade, protein shakes. You know, it was really, really cool. Yeah.
Mike Vassell, the newest member of the White Sox, joining us here on White Sox Weekly on ESPN 1000. All right, Mike, so how about for you? What's the outlook? What are you trying to do this year? I know you have some starting experience, at least throughout the minor leagues, but it looks like you're going to start in the pen. So what ultimately is your goal, and what are you going to try to accomplish this season?
Yeah, you know, for me, no matter where I was for this season, whether it was with the Rays or the Mets or the now obviously the White Sox, like the goal for me was to have a good year, you know, pitch well no matter where I'm at, and that's still my goal, because ultimately at the end of the day I will be happiest with, you know, if I pitch well, and that's really was my focus this offseason: cleaning up mechanics, fine-tuning the arsenal, improving the mentals in terms of pitch sequencing and you know, being able to slow the game down. And you know, for me, obviously now at this level, at the highest level of all baseball, you know, it is still obviously pitch well, but now it's bigger than me. It's not, you know, just not my personal goals. It's about the team, and it's about winning games. So if they ask me to do whatever it is to help keep the team in the game, throw a lot of innings, whatever it is, like, that is my mindset, anything to help the team win. And that's what I love about, you know, now being at the major league level, because it is truly all about winning. You know, and it's sometimes throughout the minor leagues, it gets tough because, you know, obviously you want to win, but at the end of the day, you know, it isn't really about the wins and losses. And I feel like I really haven't played a game to truly, truly win since my college days. So, you know, that is what I love, that it's bigger than me. It's bigger than us. It's all about the team and winning and for the fans and all that. So.
Love that attitude, Mike. Love that mantra. Mike Vassell joining us for another moment here on White Sox Weekly. All right, before I spring you, I know that you talked about training with Shane Smith. He's in the offseason.
Yep.
What was it like, you know, just when you told him that you were a member of the White Sox, and how happy are you for him to make the White Sox rotation?
Yeah, you know, I see Shane. I think everybody should be really, really excited about Shane. You know, I've worked out with him for a couple years now in the offseason. There's nobody that works harder. You know, he really is a dog when it comes to every facet of the game. And, you know, he takes everything very seriously, but he's a great teammate. He's a great human being. And, you know, that's a guy that I think a lot of people should have faith in. He's truly amazing. You know, and then just to be with him and all that's really special. So, you know, overall, like Shane's a really, really great guy, and he's an even better baseball player, even better pitcher. So I think everyone should be very excited about him. So,
well, Mike Vassell, I know you thanked me for having you on when you came in. I want to say thank you for hopping on. We appreciate it. Sounds like you are going to bring a very positive attitude into the bullpen, and maybe, who knows, maybe you'll step in the rotation at times as well. So can't wait to have more conversations with you, my friend. Welcome to the White Sox, and we will be watching all year.
Hey, yeah, I really appreciate it. And like I always love to say, it's all about winning games, you know? So love to be on. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Again, Mike Vassell, he'll be pitching out of the bullpen. The White Sox acquired him. He is a Rule 5 draft pick. So if the White Sox hope to retain him, they're going to have to keep him on the roster all season, which, you know, hopefully you hear this. You love, you know, listening to a guy who seems so excited to be a member of the team, to bring that type of attitude. Just already sounds like it is a completely different ball club. I'm Jeff Meller. This is White Sox Weekly here on ESPN 1000. We were planning on doing a little bit of a farm report check-in on Charlotte as they had their opening night last night. So let's, after we had the little bump up for Mike Vassell there, let's go ahead and do that next. White Sox fans, join us at the ballpark on Saturday, April 12th, as the White Sox take on the Red Sox at 3:10 p.m. The first 15,000 fans will receive a 1920 jersey hoodie presented by Rate. To purchase tickets, visit whitesox.com/promos. When we come back, the latest on Colson Montgomery, Kyle Teal, and plenty of elite arms at Birmingham. We'll do that next on ESPN 1000 and the Hard Rock Casino White Sox Network.
Here's the pitch, swing and a high fly ball left center field, hit well, that's got a chance, it's at the wall, it is gone! Colson Montgomery hits a home run, his first of the year, and the Knights' first of 2025. It's a two-run homer, and now the Charlotte Knights have a 3-0 lead here in the third.
Next pitch swung on, sent out to right field. That pitch is hammered, and it is gone into the right field seats. Kyle Teal, his first Knights home run here on opening night. And Charlotte now takes a 7-1 lead.
How about the Charlotte Knights one-upping their major league counterpart, the White Sox, with a 9-1 victory last night in their season opener over the Stripers? You heard Colson Montgomery with a home run for him, and then, of course, Kyle Teal, a couple of highly thought of prospects in the White Sox system. Right now, according to MLB Pipeline, Kyle Teal is the second prospect after Noah Schultz in the Sox system, number 32 overall, and Colson Montgomery is the fourth in the White Sox system. He's 39th overall in all of baseball, so those gentlemen got things started the right way last night in Charlotte. And how about this? It's not too often you could say definitively that the pitcher who's going against your AAA affiliate is the better pitcher than the team, the guy you'll be facing in the majors. But I can undoubtedly say that is the case, as Spencer Strider will be pitching for the Atlanta Braves AAA affiliate today at Charlotte. So good luck to Colson Montgomery and Kyle Teal. We'll see, because Spencer Strider, of course, recovering from that internal brace procedure that he had in the offseason that cost him the vast majority of last season. So Spencer Strider, who is one of the filthiest pitchers in Major League Baseball, will have as he continues his rehab. I think the Braves are expecting to have him back into their rotation in late April, maybe early May. And we'll see what Colson Montgomery and Kyle Teal can do today against Spencer Strider. But I did want to focus a little bit on the farm system, because that's a really exciting part of the White Sox and where they're at right now. I mentioned a couple of the top prospects in Colson Montgomery and Kyle Teal there. Paul Janisch is the White Sox farm director, if you didn't already know that. And Paul Janisch met with the media earlier this week and had a lot of interesting things to say about all these highly thought of players, including, let's start with Colson Montgomery and just what the plan is for Colson Montgomery at AAA. Because remember, Chase Meidroth, who was also part of the deal that Kyle Teal came in for Garrett Crochet, Chase Meidroth had a chance to potentially be the starting shortstop for the White Sox. He did not make the team. And so you have both Colson Montgomery and Chase Meidroth down at AAA. So what's the plan in regards to playing shortstop, Paul Janisch?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question, and it's a really good problem to have, right? I've all of the guys that you named, I think, are more than capable of playing short. And I think to start the year in Charlotte, Colson's going to get the bulk of the time at shortstop. Like, that's the way that's going to work out. You know, Chase is so versatile that he's going to be able to do a little bit of everything, and he'll play some short as well. But he'll do a little bit of everything and pretty much stay ready for anything that may happen. Bergola and Jacob and Birmingham, they'll do something similar. You know, I think it's beneficial for both of them to be very versatile. It's just the nature of the major league level at this point, and the nature of trying to get yourself to the major league level. I think it benefits those guys to, you know, if there's a need at the major league level to be able to say with conviction that they can do whatever you need to do on the infield.
So that was Paul Janisch on Colson Montgomery, Chase Meidroth, and some of the other middle infielders throughout the White Sox organization. We do know, if you're following closely, that the Sox have an influx of talent at the catching position. We played Kyle Teal's homer there. Kyle Teal also has Edgar Caro as his teammate this year on the Charlotte Knights, and both are highly thought of catching prospects. Edgar Caro is the sixth-ranked prospect in the White Sox system. He's 65th in all of baseball, so you've got a couple of very talented catchers. What is the plan for both of them when it comes to DHing and catching?
They will. They'll ping-pong each other a lot. Who's catching, the other one will be DHing in a lot of cases, assuming health. So, yeah, that's likely how that will go. Not to say that they're going to, you know, DH every game they don't catch, but they're likely to split the catching, you know, 3-3, assuming health, and get a good amount of the DH time as well. I mean, those guys are have both played really well in their time in the minor leagues, and I think we all agree that, you know, we've talked about this a lot. The catching position is demanding at the major league level, but they're both really close to being ready to perform, hopefully.
So a lot of interesting and fun things going on at AAA in Charlotte, and it's not just there. Go down to AA. The Birmingham Barons, you might want to plan a little summer trip to Alabama, folks, because if you're a Sox fan, there's the rotation they have lined up this year in Birmingham is fascinating. Paul Janisch talked about that decision.
But at the end of the day, the Birmingham group, the rotation is what we're going to be looking for, with, you know, Noah and Hagen and Grant Taylor all going to be there. It's I think we can all agree that we're excited about the prospect of those guys obviously continuing their development at the minor league level, getting used to pitching every fifth day, but really ultimately looking forward to, you know, being able to tell the story about how those guys were all in the same double A rotation in a couple of years when hopefully they're major league all-stars.
Love that. And I do think that is, you know, a possibility when you look at their pedigree right now. Noah Schultz, the top-ranked pitcher, the top-ranked player in the White Sox farm system. He's 16th overall, the top-rated left-handed pitcher, 6'10", brings the heat. So wouldn't be surprised if he has some success at all if we end up seeing him later this year at Wright Field. Hagen Smith, the White Sox first-round pick last year, wasting no time, looking impressive in spring training. He is the second-rated left-handed pitcher in all of baseball when it comes to prospects. And then Grant Taylor, who, you know, he turned heads all spring training long, hit triple digits, has some nasty strikeout stuff. So Grant Taylor also going to be in that rotation. And here's a little more from Yanish on, you know, why they paired those three down there together.
Yeah, hopefully just, again, them deciding that the other one, they want to be better than the other one, right? It's been fun to watch those guys. They've become very close. You guys have had the chance to talk to them and kind of witness their relationship unfold as well. That's the biggest thing. Like I referenced earlier, you know, they had the same problem, meaning talent's not going to be the issue. You know, we're going to work really hard to help them stay healthy. But I just think that, you know, the rapport that they develop, you know, during the next, you know, period of time when they're playing together as teammates in AA is going to pay itself forward down the road, hopefully at the major league level as well. And, you know, just to highlight just the type of people that they are, they're the type of guys that, you know, we need to do our job to give them the best chance for success currently, but also like getting to the big leagues and have success. And they're the kind of guys that we feel can really have impact off the mound as well, like with younger pitchers that are the next round of pitchers that are going to come and being able to be good examples of you know how we do it, so to speak.
So there was White Sox farm director Paul Yanish talking about the relationship between Noah Schultz and Hagen Smith and how he hopes that they can establish maybe what other pitchers will do as they come through the farm system and maybe push each other to get the absolute most out of their talents. Very exciting times, not just at Charlotte and Birmingham, but throughout the entire White Sox farm system. We will keep you up to date on what's going on in the minor league affiliates all season long right here on White Sox Weekly. Let's pause 10 seconds for a legal ID. Thank you for the legal there, Charlie Bevins, back in the shop. Hey, White Sox fans, learn from the pros this summer at a White Sox summer camp presented by Wintrust, starting at $165. Kids ages 5 through 12 can register for a four-day baseball camp offered at over 35 locations throughout the Chicagoland area. To learn more, visit whitesox.com/play. We are about 30 minutes away from your White Sox pregame show coming at you. White Sox first pitch, 1:10. White Sox and Angels today. Jonathan Cannon against Jose Soriano. Up next, if you're headed to the park today, I'm going to let you hear from White Sox Chief Marketing Officer Brooks Boyer, who joined Carmen and Yurko on Thursday as they were out and about. And Brooks stopped by with some of the cool new food options that you can find in the stadium. So if you're heading to the game today, you're going to want to listen to this so you can figure out where you're going to go, what you're going to go eat today at the park at Rate Field. So we'll do that next right here on the ESPN 1000 Hard Rock Casino White Sox Network. Welcome back to White Sox Weekly. I'm Jeff Meller, live from Rate Field, as we are awaiting the pregame coverage. Will come your way at 12:30. First pitch at 1:10. Jonathan Cannon on the mound for the White Sox, opposed by Jose Soriano. Those are your probables today. White Sox lineup real quick here. Let me give you that before we let you hear from Brooks Boyer, the White Sox chief marketing officer, who hopped on with Carmen and Yurko earlier today. But White Sox lineup out. Miguel Vargas back in the leadoff spot playing third base. Luis Robert Jr. will be in center field hitting second. Andrew Benintendi makes his season debut in the field. He was DHing on opening day. He'll be in left today. Andrew Vaughn will be hitting cleanup and playing first base. Your DH, Nick Maton, the lefty will hit fifth. Lenin Sosa will be batting sixth and playing second base. Behind the plate today will be Matt Theiss. He's also a lefty. Jacob Amaya will be hitting eighth and playing shortstop. And then finally, Brooks Baldwin will round out the White Sox lineup. The switch hitter will play right field today. All right, as I mentioned, on opening day, Brooks Boyer stopped in with Carmen and Yurko on the flagship station ESPN 1000 as they were getting ready for the fabulous opening day affair that we witnessed here at Rate Field. And as always is the case, Brooks is very generous when it comes to all the great new food features that are going to be at Rate Field this year. And it didn't take long for Carmen DeFalco to spot Brooks in the house.
Wait, I think we got cake shakes.
Take a look at that.
Brooks Boyer is rolling in with the cake shakes.
You didn't think you were going to get those, did he? He goes, there's no way in the world they're going to bring a shake.
Look at this. I said, yeah, Brooks isn't bringing a shake. Wait, give Brooks a headphone. Give Brooks a headset.
Right up here, but he's got to set it up here.
Whoa, look at this. This is the celebratory shake.
Look at Carm. Just
well, you know, listen, like after last year, after last year.
You got your hands. Get your hands.
Let's remember what was the most.
Got stuff all over.
The most epic part of the season last year was the shake, of course.
It was.
And the campfire milkshake.
Confetti cake up top, too.
Now, this is the 125th year.
And the glass, Carm, I don't know if you can see it. It's rimmed with sprinkles.
There we go.
Carm, first sip.
First sip.
What do you think?
Everyone knows the rules. First sip. Everyone knows
one sip, everybody knows the rules. I'm not kidding. Last year on opening day, my son was with me. You remember, he was here.
I do.
It was the day after he got braces. Okay?
It's some sort of sandwich.
He couldn't eat anything. He was miserable. And all we kept hearing about was, oh, you know, their new thing is this campfire shake. We walked around. It took about 30 minutes to finally find where they were serving the campfire milkshake. And I had two reactions. First, when I saw the price, I was like, okay.
It's a great cup. It's a collector.
And I was like, okay. I said, this thing better be spectacular. And I said, Gio, first of all, I saw him take a sip. His eyes lit up. And I go, let me take a sip of this thing. And I was like, that, like in Pulp Fiction, I said,
yeah. I mean,
that's a pretty damn good milkshake.
It's good milkshake.
I was like, holy cow, is that good. And by like the third week of the season, all everybody was talking about was the milkshake.
MVP?
It was the MVP.
Crochet or campfire? Who you got?
Well,
of course, they were 3-22 after the first 4 weeks of the season.
That was last year.
So it's easy to concentrate.
We're over that.
So wait. Well, listen, I got a bright outlook for the White Sox.
So you guys upped it a little bit. You said, well, we got to top it. And so what are you exactly calling this one?
This is a celebration shake.
The celebration shake.
Birthday cake shake with birthday cake pieces in there, and then a sugar cookie with the pinwheels.
It's a pinwheel from like this
125 years. What's the first first reaction? First rating?
It's fantastic.
Look at that. We got wieners.
You know, it's I don't know. So it's birthday cake ice cream. Do I have
birthday
that right?
Birthday cake ice cream with actual bits of birthday cake mixed in, and then you get birthday cake pieces on the top.
It's fantastic, Charlie. Go ahead.
Chuck's going to get
it's unbelievable.
It's fantastic.
Oh, my God.
I'm telling you, this Fuku chicken.
Okay, so this
legit,
is the
right here.
Legit real deal showstopper.
So
it's got a little of that Nashville hot flavor on it, too, Carm, so you better brace yourself.
Is this the celebrity chef?
A little bit of heat.
I thought this is David Chang's. Is that right?
Yes.
Is that?
Yes. I think that's right.
I think that's right because I saw you guys. You guys put it out on social. He's a pretty famous celebrity chef. Like it's his thing.
It's his thing.
Right?
But and they're legit.
Get after it real quick, Carm. I've got a brighter outlook than most. I got you 10-12 after 22. Hovering around 500 as long as possible. That's what I'm looking
for. Sox fans certainly deserve that.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I'm a little brighter than most of these guys.
Holy
you know?
Cow,
also with realistic expectations because the boys are young and we're getting there. And I'm figuring it out.
Yeah.
Dude.
And ultimately we want to be different. Different from last year. Yeah, the structure of Chris Guest's department is different. Will Venable, that's different. And you think of all these different lenses that we have that are in now. That's different, and that's what we ultimately want to have, is to be able to put a product on the field people are proud of, and to see a direction, see a vision, and to play the game the right way. So that's why I'm super anxious to get these guys in the field to see.
How from your perspective, how do you convey that to the people, especially when some of the younger guys aren't here to start?
Correct.
You know what I mean?
It might not be
a while before Hagen Smith and Noah Schultz here. So how do you convince the fans of that?
Well, I think the fans need to see it. They need to see it. They need to see a new culture, a new way of playing the game on the field at the big league level. And, you know, you hate to say regardless of the record, but you want to see guys playing the game the right way, giving a vision and a direction of what can be and what we're trying to do. You know, the fact that we have our head of hitting and our head of pitching, they aren't the guys in the dugout. They're not living it day by day. So they're going to be able to watch the whole system
to make sure,
yeah, like a Brian Bannister, he's watching all of our pitchers, not just the guys at the big league level. So it's going to be different. That's what we're excited about.
Is there, with all the guys you guys have brought in, and I know this isn't necessarily your specialty, Brooks, but you mentioned it, like with these different voices and different ideas and some young, fresh voices from outside the organization that have worked in really like forward-thinking organizations, sure, like Barfield has with Mike Hazen in Arizona, like Bannister has in Boston, in San Francisco, Will Venable.
Fuller, Baltimore.
But yeah, I mean, all these guys. Like, yeah. Do you notice?
Walker, Milwaukee. Yes. I mean, these are a lot of different lenses.
Do you notice a difference in, like, sort of the big picture? Like, hey, we got to change the way we think as an ops department.
And I don't spend the entire time down to spring training, but the collaboration that I've seen either in our offices here at the end of last year or even the time I have spent in spring, you got a lot of different voices, respected voices. And you think about it, all those guys have career trajectories that are on the way up. They're younger guys. Why are they all here? Why would you come to the Chicago White Sox? They believe in the vision. They believe in the direction and believe that they can get things going the way that would make our White Sox fans proud.
If Luis Robert gets traded, how much harder does it make your job? Who do you market? Who do you see on this team that can be, I don't know, front and center?
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like,
who's the poster?
Who could it be?
It's a great question, because I think there's going to be a lot of people that you see on opening day that you don't know of that you're going to know of by September. And who are those stars? The pitching staff.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, you mentioned the names already. Those are guys new to the organization.
Yeah.
Can a Colson Montgomery come up and carry that weight of what Tim Anderson was when we thought we were going through it the first time? So
there's a
number of guys that I think will, over the course of the next couple of years, come together as a team, as opposed to maybe just being one or two individual stars.
This sandwich is insane. The Fuku. Where is this going to be available?
I'll do the dog.
Everywhere. Like everywhere.
Yes. And this is the Lucky's. That's like the dessert dog.
What in the world? Bubbles, waffles, Korean dogs.
How many times do I call you the fruity pub?
Wait a minute. Hold on.
I don't even know.
Yurko, let's see.
This is leaking a white viscous fluid.
I don't know, dude. I don't know. I might not try that one. I'm just going to go to town on this.
Who wants to try one?
Who wants to try one? Yeah, these guys.
There you go. Like,
get it to him. Hey, our young fan back here, too. Get him one right there.
Parker!
I don't know. I know Parker. Is Parker skipping school or is it spring break? Hey, nice hand, Scotty Angel.
Parker,
are you on break or are you skipping school?
Attaboy!
Yeah, it's opening day. Skipping school.
Oh, but you guys got to try this one. This is the actual Korean dog. You got to try.
Get on that, Yurko. Come on.
Korean dog? I just say Fruity Pebbles.
Eat, Yurko.
Do it, Yurko. Nothing like
anything on
meat on a stick.
Anything on a stick. With anything cheese. In a helmet.
All right, so what's new? The Luckies? These dogs are new.
Yep, these dogs are new. This is kind of your treat, the Lucky Dogs.
The Fuku
Korean
Chicken.
Korean barbecue. It's.
Dude, I'm going.
Oh, leave it there. What's that?
Dude.
I don't know. Here, give him this one, right here.
What's on this chicken sandwich, Buck?
Right here.
It's insane.
You need the that's not a candy one.
He wants a candy one. Here, pass it over.
That's for a shake.
Oh. Well, Charlie's going to finish that shake. I'll tell you that one.
Right,
one. Here. Pass the shake over.
Give it to the kid.
Yeah.
What else is new, Brooks?
It's got a little heat on it, this Korean doohickey.
Yeah, that one.
Oh, sweet mama.
Levy's featuring some strawberry nachos, cinnamon nachos, strawberry chocolate. That's fantastic. But I got to tell people, you got to try the loaded cheese curds.
The loaded
cheese curds. All right. Beef brisket.
Okay.
It's insane.
Beef brisket and cheese curds? That sounds pretty good. Listen, it's still the best ballpark experience over there. I know it might be still a little struggle when it comes to wins and losses, but the food, the ambiance, everything else.
Yurk's losing his.
I lost it.
Yeah,
what'd you call that?
Lost it. I lost it.
Boy, that thing's a mess. You like it, though, Yurk? Yurk likes it. He keeps going back for it.
Also, at some point, I'll bring you guys over. They have these wraps, but they're like a bubble wrap that has either chicken or like a dessert one. These bubble waffles.
All right.
Fantastic.
It's kind of like this.
Yeah.
Before we let you go, two games in August with the Savannah Bananas. Is that right?
Yes.
It's sold out in
quickly. But
minutes.
we do have suites and some premium seats available. They'll be sold through the White Sox.
Okay.
So if people are interested, give us a call. We'll get you on the waiting list and see what we can do.
So there you go. Brooks Boyer joining Carmen Yurko ahead of the opening day game. And he's not kidding about the Savannah Bananas. I had somebody reach out to me and immediately be like, hey, you got to get me some tickets to the Savannah Bananas when they come to Wright Field in August. So that should be a fun couple of days as well here at Wright Field. But of course, hey, you want some good baseball, come on out and watch the White Sox today as they take on the Angels for game two of the 2025 season, the 125th in White Sox franchise history. Hey, Sox fans, bring your family to the ballpark with a family pack presented by ExxonMobil. Starting at just $19, each family member gets one ticket, hot dog, drink, bag of chips, cookie, plus a souvenir 125th anniversary water bottle. For tickets, visit whitesox.com/family. When we come back, we'll wrap this up and get set for your pregame show. First pitch, White Sox Angels at 110, right here on the ESPN 1000 Hard Rock Casino White Sox Network. Jeff Meller back here on White Sox Weekly Live from Wright Field as we are awaiting first pitch coming your way at 110 today. We'll get the pregame show started at 12:30, just under 10 minutes from right now. Sox Crawl is back. Join us on April 12th for the Sox Crawl Whiskey Q presented by Jack Daniels. Enjoy an exclusive pregame crawl inside the stadium with cocktail and barbecue samplings, food and drink specials, entertainment, and more. Plus, receive a 1920 jersey hoodie presented by Wright. To purchase tickets, visit whitesox.com/SoxCrawl. I want to say thank you to White Sox pitcher Mike Vassell for hopping on White Sox Weekly earlier today. If you missed it, I'll let you hear a little bit of that in the pregame show. Mike, very likable person, rooting for him, would love to see him hang around for the entire season because he's a very, very positive guy. And so that kind of just, you could hear it coming through in the interview on White Sox Weekly. If you missed it, you want to hear the whole thing, you can always get that on the ESPN Chicago app when the White Sox Weekly podcast goes up. Thank you as well to Jesse Rogers for stopping in the ESPN Major League Baseball Insider. We let you hear from White Sox GM Chris Getz as well as White Sox Chief Marketing Officer Brooks Boyer on this edition of White Sox Weekly. We'll each and every week we'll get you caught up on all you need to know about your White Sox. We also gave you a little bit of what was going on down in the minor leagues, as you heard from Farm Director Paul Janisch on all the latest and all the highly regarded White Sox prospects. What's the plan for them this year and how quickly you could maybe see some of those players like Colson Montgomery and Kyle Teal up at the major league level, and what the thought process was behind allowing Noah Schultz, Hagen Smith, and Grant Taylor to be part of that rotation down in Birmingham together, why they wanted to do that. So we gave you all that here on this edition of White Sox Weekly, and we'll be giving you plenty more as the pregame show gets ready to roll here shortly. White Sox and Angels again, first pitch coming your way at 110. Andrew Benintendi will make his debut in left field today. He was the designated hitter on opening day, hit that three-run bomb, and showed no effects from the hairline, the non-displaced fracture in his right hand that he suffered in spring training. So that was good to see. That was something I was keeping an eye on. I wasn't quite sure if Benintendi was pressing to get back into the opening day lineup quickly just because he wanted to be there and if it was going to be something that was going to hinder him, but obviously showed no ill effects on opening day. So that was certainly something that was good to see, and he'll be back in left field today, so we'll get a good look at that. If you missed it, Miguel Vargas leading off. Luis Robert will be playing center field. Benintendi in left, batting third. Andrew Vaughn will be your cleanup hitter at first base. Nick Maton will be DHing today, the lefty there. Lenin Sosa hits sixth and plays second base. Matt Theiss will be behind the plate as the lefty catcher today, hitting seventh. Jacob Amaya, man short for the second consecutive game, he'll be batting eighth. And then Brooks Baldwin gets his first start of the season. The switch hitter will be playing right field for the White Sox with Jonathan Cannon on the bump for the White Sox today. We'll give you plenty regarding the Los Angeles Angels as well. In the pregame show, give you their lineup, their starting pitcher. We'll also let you hear some of the exciting highlights that happened on opening night for the Charlotte Knights last night. If you missed that, we'll catch you up in the pregame show as well as the manager show Will Venable, he sat down with Len Casper, and we'll let you hear what Will thought of his first victory as the White Sox new skipper. That's going to do it for this edition of White Sox Weekly. I'm Jeff Meller. Thanks to our executive producer, Brendan Riley, and Charlie Bevins spinning the dials back at the shop. Up next, we will start the White Sox pregame show with a hopefully 110 first pitch. A little bit of showers right now, but it doesn't look too bad in the forecast. So we'll keep you abreast as to that situation. Coming up next on the White Sox pregame show on ESPN 1000.